everybody. You are very welcome to this week's podcast. So I have Emma with me today from the Mindful Movement Coach. I hope I said that right, Emma, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. So this topic I'm actually really excited to talk about today because I think there are a lot of us that will relate to this. And I think if we can do a little bit less of this in our life, especially at the moment when we have so much going on, I think it's going to be really, really helpful to us. So today we are talking about people pleasing. And I would be better at this than I was, but I still do it. And I have been absolutely dreadful of doing this in the past. So I suppose, Emma, before we even start off, I mean, people pleasing, what is people pleasing? Like, what would you think people pleasing is?
People pleasing is not a bad thing. It's all about the balance of it. Like, I mean, in customer service, which a lot of people would be, and what we do, you always want to make sure that your customer, you're pleasing your customer. And that's in that kind of form. But when you take it out of that context where you're working at home, you're homeschooling, you have, you can't see people, but there's this fear of exclusion. You're being excluded from things because you want to over deliver. So say like you want to you want to help a neighbor and you want to make sure that they're okay. You're going to see them. You want to cook them dinner and all that kind of stuff. You know, you just want to be you want to be included, and there's a fear of exclusion. So you'll go over and above what you would normally do in order for the validation for that person to like you. So that's basically what it is. You're looking for external validation that you are doing a good job. And you know what? It comes from kids. Like, I mean, you always wanted that you kind of go, fair play to you, well done. And that's all fine. But when the problem then comes is when you're craving that validation, you're kind of like, I'm not good enough, or I want to be good enough. I want to be better than them. You know, it's that's the
people. It's a need. So it's like an outside need that you constantly need this injection nearly of, oh, isn't she great? Like, I mean, I remember, I suppose years ago, one of my kind of examples, I remember someone saying, oh, don't worry about it. We've already asked Sharon. Sharon will sort that. And I got this instant kind of, oh, yeah, okay, you said that. You know, and what do you need me to do? And it was just purely because it was that instant validation of, I don't know, I just felt good. So it is that you go, okay, what is it? What is it I can do? And do many people, Emma, suffer with people pleasing? I mean, it's a common.
It is very common. It's very common. Like you're a mom, okay? You know, you'll do anything for your children and you'll give the best for your children. So moms are ideal people pleasers because they want a peaceful life. They want the kids to learn. They want them to be quiet. You know, you're always going to
sleep.
And you always want them to work in your favor. So you'll always do everything to please them. That's one element. In the other element, if you think of it in the working environment, right? So it'd be ideal. An awful lot of people are working from home. There's Zoom calls and you want to get your voice across, and there's stronger voices in that meeting, and you want to get your 2 cent worth for whatever it is that you're discussing. So it's this eagerness to kind of go, I have to say this because I need, it's like this urge to get it out there, and you want to be the stronger part of the conversation because it's a fear of the exclusion. Again, it's coming back to that. You want to feel included. And if your boss or somebody asks you, or a neighbor or a friend is always asking you if there's an event. Oh, geez, remember events. Remember those things that we used to do?
People please all the time from now on, just to go anywhere.
Where you organize everything, right? You know, leave it to Sharon or leave it to Emma. They'll organize. They know the people to do that, and just leave it to that and go, oh yeah, I'll do that. You know, taking it all in and there's always going to be a sacrifice for what else that you need to do Like, you have your own life as well. You need your stuff to do, but you don't value your stuff as being important. It's always other people's stuff is more important than yours. So the task.
Where did we get that from, Emma? So if we think everyone else is more important than us, like, what leads us to believe? Because there are other people that don't think that. So what leads us to believe that their stuff is more important than us? Or is it that we're looking for this easy life? Or is it a combination of the two of them?
I think it's a combination of lots of different things and two of those. For me, and then from me researching this, I think it comes back to when we were children in primary school or even just in junior infants, that everyone was included. There was no stigma. You just kind of played with your friends. But as you get older, you kind of find your own little group. And then if you want to play with the cool kids, oh, they're playing chasing, but they run faster than me. And so I want, so they might, you might exclude yourself. But then there's other people, oh, no, they have the cool toys. I want to go over and play with them. So you're always going to over deliver what you're going to be. You're going to be as cool as them. You want to please them because you want to be like them. And it stems from that. So you're kind of morphing yourself into being somebody else for inclusion.
Okay.
And I think it comes from there, and it manifests itself as we get older. And as you go into the workspace, even again, it doesn't matter where that you work, it does actually, you always want to please your boss. If the boss is in a bind or your work colleague is in a bind, you'll always go over and above to help them to make sure that they're okay. But you don't value yourself. But it's just to be sure that you are the go-to person to do everything. Because
that's
you
a lot of it, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a lot of it, is that you are afraid that if you don't do this time, maybe the next time they'll overlook you. So you just want to be known as you said, the go-to person to do it. And I suppose, is it the same in work? But would it be the same with relationships? So whether it's your husband or maybe it's your parents, you know, and they're kind of asking you to do things, would it be the same that you don't want, maybe if your parents are asking you to do, you don't want to say no because they might ask your sister and then they won't ask you back again? Is that happen as well?
It is because I know no parent should ever have a favorite child. Never. They never do that. They shouldn't. But look, I'm not a parent. I can't judge. So that's irrelevant. But it is that it's valuing your opinion. OK, so it's valuing that your own opinion that will give value to somebody else that will help them. And if you are overlooked for something, like for your parents to say, look, I can't bake, but my sister Kira will be able to bake, or my sister Jenna will be, like, and I'm fine. Look, ask them to do it. That's fine by me. But if you need me to cook something for you, I'll be able to do it. No problem. So it's understanding what your boundaries are. If there's something that you can't or you don't feel comfortable about doing, but you'll say, yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
There's another element that comes into that then. So I'm skirting onto another kind of topic. But it's understanding that what you can and you can't do, that you're not going to bring yourself into a place of overwhelm. So, like, I mean, if you ask me to do a meringue, I can't do that. Ask me to do, like, whatever. You know,
Rice Krispie cake.
You know, yeah, something simple. Like, I mean, I'll be able to do that, but ask me to bake, no. Cook, yes. So okay, understanding your boundary, what you can do. And to a certain degree, it is about being included, because it is, it always comes down to being included, being liked by other people.
And what are we afraid of? That need to be included is stemming from some fear of what happens if we are excluded. Okay. Yeah. So what is the fear? Like, what's the doomsday that's coming down from us being excluded?
It could come from childhood. It does come from childhood. How I discovered it, I actually discovered quite late. I didn't realize I was doing it only until just like about a year ago, since I actually, about 5 years ago, since I started going out on my own. started from when I was a teenager, and there was my whole family dynamic just literally just changed overnight. So my father left, and then that's where I felt there was the exclusion there. He left somewhere. There's something okay. stronger out there, and I don't know what it is. That's just my story. Okay. Now, everyone else's yeah. story is completely different. It could be that their friends just, or your friends created, they went out to town, you know, and they excluded you. They didn't include you, or they didn't send you a message, or, you know, there's that element of exclusion. And
okay, okay.
And it's always, you just want to be everywhere. You know, you want to be every event, every eventuality, because it's the fear of missing out. And you've often heard that. And nowadays, when the kids are on the phone and they're scrolling through Instagram, or they're scrolling to TikTok, or whatever it is that the kids are doing, their fear of missing out. They don't want to be excluded. They want to be included. So they're recording everything on TikTok so they can show it out to their friends. So it's all okay. about that community to wider horizons.
And then what, I suppose, things like this do have a positive side, you know, because we do help others, but obviously there is a negative impact
yeah.
on our lives. So if you look at someone that really is a people pleaser, and then you kind of go, okay, how would your life be different if maybe you did a little bit less? So I suppose, what impact is it having on our lives?
The impact is it's... you don't value your own time. You say, it's not about me, it's about them, you know, okay. you know, it's not about my happiness, it's about their happiness. So they're already like that person that even just saying, it's not about me, it's about them. I'm doing it to make them happy. And your happiness doesn't come into it, because it's literally just like the priority list. You're not a priority in your own life, but yet you're the one that's leading the show in your own life, if you want to think of it that way.
So you're not putting on your own oxygen mask.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. And I love that metaphor. And it is very true. You're not yeah. feeding yourself in order to be happy. And that can lead to anxiety. It can lead to depression. It can lead to, you know, because of the mindset of your mind, what's in your mind is in your body. So if your body is tired, your mind is tired because you're overwhelmed by people pleasing. You want to take on everyone else's tasks, their jobs.
And it can be overwhelming as well. I suppose that's one important thing to say as well. It's not just getting that feel good feeling all the time, because if you're taking their tasks on, you still have your own tasks.
So exactly.
You can be very overwhelmed and nearly resentful. I think if it's because if I know if I ask someone to do something and every time I ask them, they do it, they become my go-to person. Okay. That's just natural. You will, you know, go to the place of least resistance. And so if I become someone's go-to person, that's natural, but then I get overwhelmed. And then actually I will start to resent them continuously asking me for something, you know, yeah. So it does a full circle. You lose that feeling of, oh, I feel great, I'm helping this person, to like,
yeah, oh completely. So you want to go out for a walk, or you want to walk the dog, but you want to go on your journey, but that somebody wants to, you know, wants to come in, like, you'll invite everyone in, that's fine, but you want to go your way and they want to go their way.
Yeah.
But because you kind of, or I don't want to, well, okay, I'll go their way, but then you kind of go, I didn't want to go this way, I did this the way yesterday and I hurt my knee, or something silly, something ridiculous.
Yeah, no,
then
yeah.
kind of going, no yeah. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to do it this way today and maybe that way tomorrow. But because this person I've met and wasn't planned, just said, oh, come on, we're going this way. Come on, I want to talk to you for a second because I want your opinion on something. And again, that's another element. So I'll park that one.
But what if, so let's say if we recognize and go, actually, you know what, I want to do this a little bit less because I want to start valuing my own time better and I want to reduce my overwhelm. What would be the steps? So you mentioned that you realized you were doing this. So maybe talk us through your journey. I mean, it's not something that's overnight. So we're not yeah. going to overnight be able to stop this. But I mean, in your experience, in your journey, how did it kind of work? How did it look your side?
It from my point of view, how it worked was I just felt completely drained because I was giving so much and I wasn't fulfilling my own needs. So yeah, I had to stop. I was not that I was at breaking point, just kind of like, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. And there's always there's a way that if you pause a machine, it'll stop. But if you pause a person, that's when stuff starts. So I put the pause button. It's a good way of thinking of it when you.
I've never heard that before. But
it's
yeah,
nice phrase. It's a lovely phrase. So when you when a human pauses, that's when things start, and you start to kind of reflect and understand. Then, why am I? What is this happening? Why? Like, I mean, you can jot it down. I do an awful lot of journaling. Journaling is very, very helpful to understand what is happening. You know, and when you read it to yourself or just listen, kind of go, God, that's what it is. That's what it is, and I remember from traits from years ago that I'll always be that go-to person. But now I'm valuing me. I'm just kind of like, I have to know my worth and know my energy and know my time. So it's being unapologetic.
Okay. Right?
Being unapologetic about this is me. I can't deliver. I won't be able to do that. And being unapologetic about it. Oh, God, I'm really sorry. I don't know, you know. And then you start making excuses. You kind of go, no.
So how do you be unapologetic? So how do you go from that feeling of awful guilt and knowing you need to say no and taking all your energy to say no to going, no, that doesn't sit right now. And just leaving at that instead of going, but I might do it tomorrow or, oh, God, I really feel bad or let me see what I can do. How do you shift, take that shift?
And this is the beauty of it, Sharon, because that's where your confidence, that's where you can, when you feel something in it's that gut feeling, right? So when you feel that if it doesn't feel right, it's not right. So you go with your gut feeling. It's not all about the head, it is all about the body. Okay. So the body and the mind do talk to each other. So if the gut feeling is true, then no, I can't take this on. I just can't. I'm really like, you can apologize, but it's just not the right time for me at this moment.
And don't dwell on it.
Yeah. So don't blur the lines. You've made the line very clear that I cannot do this. And then you pause, because when you pause, the thoughts start to slow down. Because the more that you think about it, the more you're feeding the energy in and the more you're going to make the excuses. So it's to put that pause.
Okay. And then is it a case of repetition so that you will keep doing this and you do it more often than not and then you get used to it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's like every muscle, you know, you pick up that weight or that kettlebell. It's going to feel like a ton weight and it might not even be. It's only about 10, 5, 8K, whatever. It's going to feel really heavy at the very beginning. But the more you lift it, the higher that you can lift, you know, the more that you flex that muscle, the stronger that muscle will be. It's exactly the same.
And what happens then? Like, so what happens when you say no to them people? So like I said, we have the big fear of what will happen. But in reality, what really happens?
At the beginning, it's kind of like, oh no. They're not going to ask me again. They're not going to ask me again. But that's not the worst thing that will happen. You'll still carry on. You'll still be able. It's understanding your value. That's what it's about. It's valuing your time, your opinion, yourself. It's again that to-do list. We're like most women, particularly entrepreneurs, we, you know, and moms don't put themselves on the top of the priority list. It's always about other people.
We don't even go on that list.
You don't even factor in it in any way, shape, or form. So it's learning to say nope, I'm there. And it's not being, and we were always told that's a very selfish thing. You should always think of others. To a degree, that's true. But you have to be part of that factor as well, because your energy is what drives you every single day, and every single day is different. Yeah. If you don't have that energy and drive to get through the day, something's got to give. It has to give. But only people will understand that of what, you know, what the hell am I doing? Why am I tired? I'm falling asleep after dinner time and 8 o'clock at night.
And you're not a lot of fun. Yeah. You're not a lot of fun either to be around. We think we're great doing all these people pleasing and, you know, everybody will love us and they'll ask us to do everything again. But then the truth is we're exhausted. So the people that are maybe closest to us, and it's typically our kids and our partners, you know, they see the other side of us because we're exhausted. And then yeah. they ask us to do something. And it's like, it was just, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And God loves exactly. them. They get the no instead of the people that should have gotten the no.
And it is that something that could be so trivial, could be a monumentous task. You kind of go, yeah, I just cannot do it because your energy has been given to other people. You're giving, giving, giving. It's not
so then, you know,
sorry.
So then if we do it the other way and don't people please as much, let's say, you know, we might completely eradicate it in the first step, but if we move towards leaving it on the to-do list, check where we are on the to-do list. And if we're not on it, put ourselves on it and make sure we're at the top and, you know, take no, you know, be absolute about that. Don't feel any guilt whatsoever about that. Then, like you said, we'll have much more energy. So when it comes to the people that do need us more or even us, we have that energy to give them, don't we? I'm really excited about that, actually, because that I think that feels better than that fear of missing out.
Oh, completely. And you've nailed it. That's it. Exactly, Sharon. That's exactly it. Because once you have that energy that you can feel, like you can't run on fumes. It's like you have to fill your car yeah. with petrol. Like, I mean, if you can't fill your car with petrol, you can't function. The car cannot move. Your body's exactly the same. If you don't have the energy
in order to do something.
Yeah. But the body's a complicated vehicle anyway. So you think you can, but realistically you can't. You need food to fuel your body. Your body has that energy, but then there's the psychological energy, which again, that's another element which I won't go into. there's so many arms to this. It's not just one. It doesn't go into one particular category. It stretches out to different things, different arms and elements to the psychology. So
yeah, and that's, I mean, that's good, because look, we're complicated. Life is complicated, and you know, I think that's the idea of our podcast, is just bit by bit to, you know, like an onion, maybe, you know, just to get in there another little bit and another little bit, and yeah. people can jump on with episodes that are relevant to them. And you know, that's all it is. It's just building it up slowly, bit by bit. And Emma, because I love all, so I suppose where I first was introduced to you was a video that was shared. So Samantha of the Women's Inspire Network shared your video, and I loved it. And it was all on this topic. And I know you do weekly lives, don't you, all about this? And I suppose I was just glued. I think it was a Sunday morning I was watching it, and I was just glued in the kitchen to every word you were saying, because I was like, yes, 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 I can relate to all of that. So where is the best place for listeners to find out more about you, Emma, and to follow your videos every week?
My video, I do my Saturday morning Facebook Live in the Mindful Movement community at 10 o'clock every Saturday. And it can be a variation of lots of different things. It can be 15-minute yoga sessions. It can be like this, about people-pleasing, how to create focus. I did one last week about how to tackle self-criticism, you know, that inner monologue that criticizes mm-hmm. you all the time. So I did, and within the group, I put everything into a PDF, in a little infographic, and I share it. So it's there for you, and you can use it whenever you want. The video is there if you need to refer to it at any point, and so is the people.
Excellent.
And so there's lots of different things in the community, in the group, and there's a little bit of fun. Every Friday I just put up a funny picture, just to, you know, it's Friday, you know, have that Friday.
Keep it real.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think the one last one I had, what did I put? Oh, yeah. I can't believe that my hands will consume more alcohol than my mouth.
I saw that. I remember my kids first off, and totally off topic, but when I had sanitized in the car and COVID only started and I was trying to get them to do it. And I remember my 9-year-old, he's an absolute healthy. And he was like, "Mom, is this like I'm taking alcohol? Will this alcohol go into my body?"
It's stuff like that that is relatable. Like, it's been relatable to me since I moved out of the corporate space and started working for myself, that you can kind of reflect and take a step back, kind of going, oh my God, I used to do that. Oh my God, my anxiety. geez, what's going on there? So it's about the self-criticism, perfectionism, the people pleaser traits of how you can recoup the energy for yourself. And it's not in a selfish way. It's in an unapologetic way that you can your cup to feel good. That's the whole point of it. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's just negativity everywhere. And you want to kind of harness something that is very obvious, but sometimes it's, in plain sight, but you cannot see it. It's just to get little nuggets to see, oh yeah, that makes sense. God, I never knew that. And then, you can have the conversation then after that, just like we're having the conversation right now.
And then what we'll do is the videos, because obviously we're live now, and then the replay will go into our group as well later on. So we'll also put the comments, the links directly into your group and onto your page. I think people will get an awful lot of value out of following it as well. So you've been a fabulous guest, and I always ask every guest, if they had just one piece of parting advice on the topic, what would be the piece you would pick out of everything we discussed today, if that's possible?
Okay, so it's knowing your worth and know that you are enough.
Love it. And what I'm stealing from today is that word, unapologetic. I'm going to be so unapologetic for the rest of this month. Watch out, everybody.
unapologetic about being you. So that's another one. So yeah, sorry.
I'm going to steal that now today. That's my buzzword from this one today. But Emma, that has been brilliant. I really, really enjoyed chatting with you. And I learned lots. I'm delighted you've had me on the podcast. Thank you.
See you now.
Bye.